President Trump is expected to talk national security in his first joint address to Congress tonight. Yesterday, he received the Pentagon plan he had requested for one of the major security challenges he faces, the war against ISIS. The plan could eventually involve sending more American troops to Syria. It also calls for squeezing ISIS finances and limiting the group's recruiting efforts. President Trump also said yesterday he wants to boost spending on the military by $54 billion. Here he is speaking to a group of the nation's governors.
We must ensure that our courageous service men and women have the tools they need to deter war, and when called upon to fight in our name, only do one thing, win. We have to win. We have to start winning wars again.
Military analyst Andrew Bacevich is a professor emeritus of international relations at Boston University's Pardee School of Global Studies. He's also a retired Army colonel who served in Vietnam, and he joins us. Professor, welcome back.
Oh, thanks very much.
And President Trump has said that before, that the U.S. doesn't win wars anymore. But in the case of a war against ISIS, this is a terrorist group. There's not going to be a signing ceremony or a victory celebration at the end of it. What do you think when you hear him say that?
Well, it affirms my belief that he's unqualified to be commander in chief. I mean, the question, I think, that we should focus on is the question of why don't we win, and will simply shoveling more money at the Pentagon produce wins, produce victory? And I would have to – I'd have to hear the argument that would persuade me that that's the case, and I don't think any such argument exists.
And what about the plan that the president has just gotten to defeat ISIS? It may include more U.S. troops in Syria. What do you think of it based on what you know about it at this point?
Well, I think the campaign against ISIS is succeeding. Now, success is coming incrementally. Success is being achieved at enormous cost, particularly to Iraqi forces. But it's happening. Whether or not adding a handful of additional American troops, whether that will accelerate the pace of success, I don't know. I suppose it will. But I think the larger point is it really begs the larger question, which is not simply what do we need to do to defeat ISIS, but what can be done, what should be done to address the larger problems that afflict the region. And I'd argue that ISIS really is a symptom of the larger problems. So people talk a lot about military strategy as if sending an additional brigade of U.S. forces to the region is a strategy. It's not a strategy. There is no strategy. There's not even a discussion of strategy, as far as I can tell, in the foreign policy establishment.
But when you say the larger problems affecting the region, what are you talking about?
Well, I think what I'm talking about is political dysfunction, economic underdevelopment, high levels of corruption, an absence of opportunity for young people as they come of age, meddling by external forces, for example, Saudi Arabia and Iran, that each have an agenda of their own, and it's an agenda that does not contribute to restabilizing the region. Were we to actually have a strategy, then that strategy would have to address those kinds of problems.
And it sounds like you're saying that strategy would probably come from the State Department, not the Defense Department.
Well,
right?
It certainly would be a strategy that would have to encompass many more things than simply military operational considerations.
When it comes to the military, though, let's talk about this proposal to increase military spending by $54 billion. That's about 10%. I want to play you a clip here and ask you about this. This is President Eisenhower in his farewell address on January 17th, 1961.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
Now, it's hard for many politicians probably to argue against an increase in defense spending because who doesn't want to have a strong military, the strongest military on earth? But what about that in the context of what President Eisenhower warned about so many decades ago?
Well, he was right. There is a military-industrial complex. the clout that the military-industrial complex exercises today is not as great as the clout that it exercised back when Eisenhower was in office. That is to say that military spending is a far smaller part of both our national economy and a smaller proportion of the federal budget. But there's no doubt that corporate interests, in particular corporate interests that are invested in maintaining high levels of military spending, are going to get attended to by people in Washington far more than the voices that are calling for improvements in public education or investments in health research.
So is it a mistake then to do this, to increase military spending at the expense of these domestic programs?
I think so. But again, the kind of question is, what for? Why do we need to spend an additional $54 billion? Where will that money go? How much of it will go to the purchasing costly weapons as opposed, for example, to improving the readiness of U.S. forces that have been abused and misused over the past 15 years and therefore probably need a certain amount of attention in order to get them back up to speed. But the larger question has to be, toward what end? What is the strategy? What is the problem that spending an additional $54 billion a year is going to solve?
One of the things that I've noticed as I've spoken to military analysts, even military analysts who believe, as you do, that Trump is not qualified to be commander in chief, is that they're still happy with the people that he's put into these big national security roles. H.R. McMaster as national security advisor, Jim Mattis as secretary of defense. What do you think of his team at this point?
Well, I think that individually, people like Secretary Mattis and General McMaster are seasoned, talented, capable, well-intentioned. But as a matter of course, I'm opposed to having our senior national security position so dominated by military officers.
Why?
I think that it chips away at the principle of civilian control. And that's something that's a principle that Americans take for granted. And I think that actually President Trump's infatuation with military officers and his propensity to put them in these senior positions is actually indicative of the way that we are losing sight of the importance of that principle. You know, we're a country of what, 325 million people? Seems to me that there are some folks out there who haven't spent their life in uniform that actually probably have the qualifications to serve as defense secretary, to serve as national security advisor. And I, for one, would like to see those positions filled by people who have lived their lives, have their professional lives in the civilian world rather than in the military world.
One more question, Andrew Bacevich. There are going to be Pentagon investigations into the U.S. ground raid in Yemen that resulted in the death of a Navy SEAL as well as several militants, and also the U.S. military says more than 20 civilians. Some are saying there should be a congressional investigation into this. Do you think that it needs to be investigated?
Well, there should be an investigation, not in particular because a Navy SEAL lost his life, however tragic that is. There should be an investigation because the operation failed, and there ought to be an objective, detached inquiry into any military operation that goes badly. I don't know that that means that the investigation ought to be conducted under, you know, Klieg lights in public, but there should be an accounting.
You say it failed. The White House is saying it was a success because a lot of information was gathered.
That's what they're saying, but I don't know if that's the case. I don't have access to the information that supposedly was garnered.
But you say it was a failure because?
What I understood the mission to be, they didn't accomplish the mission.
That's Andrew Bacevich, who is a professor emeritus of international relations at Boston University's Pardee School of Global Studies. Thanks so much, as always, for joining us.
Thank you.